o'clock hour of Wildea Tausch begins now. And it begins with what I thought was a clever little turn of phrase from Jesse in the rundown. UPS, which does not sell ice cream but can deliver it for you, they used to have an ad campaign called What Can Brown Do For You? Yeah, they got the brown trucks.
Yep.
Brown uniforms.
Yep.
Jesse's line is, "What can a Browns loss do for you?" Which I thought was clever. And I asked Matt LaFleur, because there was, look, and rightfully so, and I was leading the charge, there were a lot of negative questions being asked yesterday. And that's what happens, and that's what's supposed to happen, and that's what you deserve to have happen when you lose a game the way they lost. Especially when you think you're pretty damn good. So we did our job. We were skating down a few skaters. We're on the penalty kill. We're missing a few people that are normally there. But we got lots of questions in, and we'll hear some of the answers. But eventually we got toward the end, and I thought, you know, I am curious. Okay, that game's over. What are you going to do about it? How does this help you now? So I asked Matt LaFleur about that. Here is that exchange.
Matt, I understand, you know, it sucks that the game went the way it did yesterday for you, but it's not like you still don't have a really good football team. So I'm just curious, what good does come from this? Like, how do you take this and use it in a way that it actually has value instead of just being pissed that you didn't play well?
Well, I just think this league is such a week-to-week league, and you can never lose sight of that. And you can't take any moment, any game for granted. And the goal, and I've said it a million times to you guys, I don't think I've obviously said it enough to our team, the goal is to go 1-0 every week. And it pisses me off when we start talking about things outside of the next game, things that are way down the road. Like, focus on, keep the focus on the present, on the now, and worry about getting better each and every day.
I think we all knew the minute he said that what he was talking about. We will hear a little bit later me asking him directly about Rasheed Walker.
Oh, Tom Waddle's Boldathon prediction.
Yeah, Gonzo. Yeah, he was looking pretty good, I thought, but not anymore. Tausch, what do you think the conversation was like between Matt LaFleur and Shido about the "we could go undefeated" remark?
I'm guessing it was probably not even from an individual standpoint. I don't think it was like she'd get up to the office. I'm guessing it was more, hey, we have guys talking about long-term winning a championship, and there's steps to go through. So I'm guessing it was more of a in-passing comment in front of the team. And then maybe a discussion after, like, hey, man, I like your confidence, but you got it. And that's probably why Shido is going to be a little more quieto when it comes to how he's going to discuss things in the press moving forward. But it's a learning lesson, and it's a humbling deal, and that's the beauty of sports, is you can be at the top of the mountain 1 week, and then the next week you're down in the gutter. And you find that that's why you try and stay as even keeled as you can and understand. Veterans understand. There's going to be some weeks you get thumped. There's going to be some weeks you thump people. Neither is the more. Most of these games are going to be one or two possessions, and it's going to be who has the players to make the big plays when the money's on the table. And we didn't have that on Sunday. That's an opportunity to learn and to try to put yourself in a position that you don't have that. But Shido will not be saying undefeated anymore. I can feel fairly confident about that. Doesn't matter if he's on a team that's 12-0 moving forward. If he ends up in, you know, Cincinnati or wherever he ends up next season, if it's not Green Bay, I got a hunch he's learned a lesson and he won't be as open as he has been in the past.
Which is unfortunate. I am curious, Tausch, in real time, when he said that last Wednesday and it came to light, what did you think, uh-oh, Wow. Like,
First off, selfishly, I thought, thank you, Shido.
Right.
Because it gave us a lot of fodder to discuss.
But contento, yeah.
From a locker room player standpoint, ooh, no.
So if let's say they don't get the field goal blocked and they win ugly, mm-hmm. right? They win
still 10, a lesson 13-10.
There's still lessons to be taken.
Yes.
He probably still tells Shido, hey, please don't say that anymore. You've got to be smarter than that.
Yep.
But, like, it's not – like, the fact that he said that and then they managed to lose to a winless team, that was a confluence of some bad juju for him. Like, and he played poorly. I mean, there's our teammates at ESPN Cleveland.
That clip is hilarious.
The clip, we will try and play that, where Myles Garrett is on the sideline making fun of Shido for yelling, run! Jordan, run! Look out!
Hey, Matt, anybody that's played, and I watched that, Myles Garrett is in a wide five. I can't remember if there was a tight end next to him, so it might have been a nine. He's outside, and in 1.5 steps, he's inside and beat Shido. It was freakazoidy.
Yeah, that's amazing.
The dude is just a stud. So it is going to happen, and at least you give your quarterback a look like, get rid of it.
Run!
And Myles Garrett delivered it really well on the sideline. It was really good. Like, well, it was bad, but it was really funny.
We'll have that a little bit later in the program if you haven't seen that. I want to get to some of the other things Matt LaFleur had to say. I will admit that when it came time to ask about special teams, I wanted to... you can't ask him, hey, why haven't you fired Rich Bisaccia yet? That's not going to get us where we want to go, but I don't think my delivery was ideal either. We'll get to that too. But the one thing that is ideal is the customer service at Associated Bank. I've experienced it, and so many of you have as well. I know Jesse has. They take great care of you no matter who you are. That's why they've got all the awards to prove their great customer service. Packers checking, Badgers checking, Brewers checking, they're all great. I have just regular checking. But I also have early pay, which gives me access to my direct deposit up to 2 days early. I've got credit monitoring for when we made that big purchase at Steinhoffel's, when we finally got a new couch. And I've got fraud protection, which made sure that when somebody tried to take my information and take my money, they had me covered. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. More Wildy and Tausch and more Matt LaFleur next, so stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So we talked a little bit about Rashid Walker's, I don't want to say proclamation. Well, let's just... I tried to help Shido out a little bit. And Tausch, I want you to grade how good of a job I did trying to have Shido's back a little bit.
All right. I'm sure you did well. You throw him under the bus.
I don't think I did that.
Well, let's hear it.
Jesse doesn't seem to think a very good job. Let's see how it sounds.
As someone who can start talking and then keep talking, as you've experienced from listening to these questions, I don't think Sheed was planning on making a proclamation that you guys would go undefeated. I think he kind of got riffing a little bit.
No, I know, but I think it's always a good reminder, like, hey, guys, like, pump the brakes on everything. We're just trying to win one game at a time. And, like, if you're thinking or have your sights set on anything outside of that, I think you're focused on the wrong things. Like, we got to be focused on trying to get better, obviously today, the focus is on, first of all, being honest about the tape and what the tape says, and then, learning from that, and then it's moving on.
So that's a teachable moment for, I mean, he's probably not going to talk to us the rest of the year, but is that a teachable moment for all your guys that you're using specifically?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of teachable moments when you certainly when you win, and obviously there's you better learn from when you have some failure. Otherwise, you'll never get better.
So, Tausch, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's again. It comes down to learning lessons from things that maybe didn't go the way you thought or you hoped. So I hope Shido doesn't just go into a shell. I wouldn't blame him if he did.
I wouldn't either.
Because that this business has gotten a lot more difficult from a player standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be more guarded, and I'm sure you lament the fact that players should be more guarded. There's just so much media.
Yeah.
And so many things that you can do and say that might be fun, but they can become distractions and can be utilized against you. And so for players, it's, you know, if you're a stud and a star, you can do kind of whatever you want as long as you're performing at that level. If you're not, there's so much pressure on these guys as it is when you don't need to add more on your plate. That, I think, is the lesson, and it always comes back to talk about your teammates, talk about yourself, and you try to keep things short so that they can't be misconstrued. And unfortunately for folks like you, that might take away some of the chops that you want to have and tell stories about people. Now, that doesn't mean that won't happen, and I think there'll still be plenty if it's, you know, done in the right way, but I would guess every player, especially young players on this team, are looking at what Sheed said and is going to be like, I'm going to keep these answers tight, and I'm going to say nothing. I'm not going to say anything.
Yeah, and again, I do think, and I was it's about the answers, but I did feel bad for Sheed because I don't think that was his intent. I think he talked himself into something and he probably regretted it. And having experienced, you know, something go semi-viral after the game about my criticism of Love, which I think was fair, by the way, but you get all these people piling on you and it's a lot. And for Sheed, when it's the boss, when it's the head coach who's not happy with you, that's really problematic. And so I hope he learned his lesson. There's a lesson to be certainly taken from that, and I don't know what he's going to be like with us moving forward.
I think you have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, no, I do. I don't think it was as egregious.
And by the way, that is not why they lost the game in Cleveland.
Correct.
It goes to the root of taking every game and every week with a new approach and what we did last week don't mean jack. And if you start believing that you can, you know, the old adage, roll your hat out on the field, and I don't think that this game was not like they didn't give great effort. Like defensively, I thought their effort was they just executed really poorly, and then things started piling up. And in a game, what happens, it's really hard to get that momentum back when you start giving up sacks and you don't trust your protection. Mm-hmm. The coach starts looking at it differently. The quarterback starts looking at it differently. The O-linemen start looking at it differently. It makes it that much more difficult to execute. And when that ball gets rolling, she's really hard to stop. And that's kind of what happened on offense and on special teams, and give Cleveland's defense and their special teams credit for kind of forcing their hand.
Well, it's time for you to look at your bathroom differently and get the help of Kohler Services to make it beautiful again. And your guy, Chris from Oostburg, who will help do the demo work.
Yeah, and got a refreshing offer for a new bath or shower remodel from Kohler Services. This month only, get $1,000 off your Luxtone shower remodel and zero interest financing for 12 months. Jason just mentioned my old pal Chris from Oostburg, one of their many skilled installers who demos your existing bath or shower, removes it, and disposes it before installing your brand new dream shower. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that is KohlerServicesWI.com.
We'll hear more from Matt LaFleur next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
our YouTube commenters. What do you call them again, Jesse?
That'd be the dwellers.
The dwellers. And I get it, man. The view is pretty good from the cheap seats, AJ. But I could have done a better job of asking the question about Rich Bisaccia.
What did you frame it the way you told us you were going to frame it yesterday?
I'll be honest with you. I forgot how I said I was going to frame it, and I tried to go through the YouTube chat to find it because I said it in there too. And then Matt LaFleur walked in. I was literally trying to look it up as he walked in. So I got a lot on my mind.
You're letting the dwellers impact your press conferences?
No, no, no. I wrote it.
Because the way you worded it yesterday was really good. I thought you'd get a good answer.
I did not word it that way. Unfortunately, in real life. Do you remember how I worded it yesterday? Because I still can't remember.
I barely remember.
Check
what we
the
did
tape.
Yesterday.
TPC Wisconsin. We got a lot going on.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back on Spotify and listen to see how I phrased it. But I can listen to how I phrased it yesterday, which was not the same. And do I think that it would have gotten a better answer? Maybe, but probably not. Here is that exchange, and here is how Matt LaFleur handled it.
Matt, you obviously care a lot about WeFence. You know, you guys call it that. What do you and Rich need to do so you can get some? Like, you've got a really good battery that you're happy with, but then it always feels like there's another challenge that you're dealing with.
The unfortunate thing about whether, you know, special teams in general is when there is a mistake. A lot of times they're catastrophic mistakes. And so obviously the end of the game, that's a bad one to have happen. You know, but all in all, I thought just in terms of more, I would say most of the emphasis typically when you're just talking across the league is placed on punt. And, you know, just you're doing everything you can not to get a punt blocked. I think sometimes you can take for granted the field goal block. Obviously, yesterday, I think, was an extreme across the league in regards to the number of blocks that happened. Bottom line, with us, I think it comes down to just being disciplined and trusting your technique and what you're coached to do on a daily basis. And unfortunately, we got lifted, and we played with poor pad level. We didn't take the correct steps and just didn't perform the right technique. And that, so if you don't do that against a really good team that is going to rush hard, you're susceptible to having a catastrophic event occur.
So I didn't like my question. I really didn't like his answer, though. I don't like it any time that a coach says you take something for granted. Punts are obviously catastrophic if you get them blocked, because they usually lead directly to points because you're probably kicking from your side of the field. The ball goes in that direction. Tausch, I don't think you should ever take field goal protection for granted. And I'm a little bit perturbed, if I'm a Packers fan, by that answer. I didn't get anywhere with Rich Bisaccia the way I chose to phrase the question. But and he definitely threw Jordan Morgan under the bus, because we know that he was the one who didn't use the right technique and got lifted. But what do you make of the fact that they focus a lot on punt protection and sometimes take field goal protection for granted?
Well, you practice punt protection a lot more. There's more moving parts. Field goal protection is basically you take your step and you brace and hold on for dear life. That's what this is. So you don't want to be doing a ton of live field goal protection because it's brutal. It's very physical. You figure out what you need to do. And, you know, for me, I usually played left guard or left tackle, because then you could step with your right foot, which, you know, if you're a right tackle, that's usually so you would just always kind of hope. I would always hope, let's go on the right hash, because then all the pressure's going to come off the left side, and you know you're going to get blown up. Mike Wall was a wing, and he always knew if it was on that hash, you're going to get blown up. You have to just – this is one of those, you rep it, it's kind of like the tush push. It becomes kind of, you do take it for granted because it doesn't happen often. But you have to make sure you're dialed in, and this will be another. I would bet that they will focus and refocus and then refocus again on this. And I wouldn't be surprised if they move some people around that they think can anchor down and sit there better. Because when you have that happen and it costs you a football game, typically the attention will crank up and you'll say, well, we're not having that happen again. So it's, again, what you do about it after it happens is what's important now, because that is in the bank. That is done. That's over. But you better learn from it.
All right, so we don't have to play this. I don't want to. In fact, this one is not worth our time, but I do want to talk about it. So Jordan Morgan is the one who is at fault on the block. Tucker Kraft also whiffed on the left wing.
That playing wing is no joke. You have to put your one arm here, and then you have, like, I ripped my rotator cuff and labrum doing field goal protection. Like, you have to put your hand up, and you have to kind of hang in inside, and then you have to keep an arm because the guy to your outside has to step down and bring it, and they're here, and it's basically a game of Red Rover. Like, field goal protection is a physical, violent game of Red Rover. And you don't want anybody jumping over. You don't want anybody coming over. You don't want any penetration. And you don't want to make sure they keep their arms down. And how you do that is when they'll, you know, Jethro Franklin always drive, drive, drive up. Drive, drive, drive up. And when they're going up, that's when you want to bop. Because then their arms come down. And I don't know which player mentioned, I think it was the long snapper, Orzech, was mentioning that this dude is a field goal blocking mess.
Yeah, it's the seventh one.
You attack that dude. It's a hard thing to do. But you scout that, like Julius Peppers, when he was with the Bears. All right, dude's 6'8". He's a basketball player. You better make sure you get a body on him because, you know, if Mason or whoever was kicking would maybe not drive it exactly the right way, you're susceptible to getting it blocked. And right, that's just kind of how this goes. And they obviously, around the league, you saw a lot of leakage this week, and I'm sure that'll be a point of emphasis for all of these special teams coaches.
So that was just a capper on a otherwise really bad day for Jordan Morgan. Now, I don't know what his practice schedule looked like, but Zach Tom lasts one snap, and instead of playing Anthony Belton, who played there against Washington and I thought was getting rave reviews from the Packers coaching staff, who trots out onto the field but 2024 first-round pick Jordan Morgan to play right tackle. Then Aaron Banks, your free agent signing of the offseason, suffers a groin injury. Matt LaFleur made it sound like it was a new groin injury, but he was on the injury report with ankle and groin injuries going in. Now, Jordan Morgan moves from right tackle to left guard, and in comes Anthony Belton at right tackle. And then the coup de grace, Sheeto and his undefeated prediction get cramps, and so he leaves for a couple of plays. So now your left tackle leaves. Anthony Belton goes from right tackle to left tackle. Jordan Morgan is still at left guard, who also, by the way,
and they brought Gooch back from the 2016 championship game, put him at right guard.
And now you got Ladarius Gunter covering Julio Jones. Now you've got Darian Kennard at right tackle. And, oh, by the way, the position that before, in the opener, Jordan Morgan had played, he was rotating at right guard. Can we just acknowledge, and Matt LaFleur kind of did, Jordan Morgan is not Zach Tom. He is not Elton Jenkins. He is not a jack of all trades.
We said that yesterday. I thought it was unfair. You're not putting Jordan Morgan in a position to succeed. I understand you want him to be versatile, and I think you probably feel pretty good about he's played guard. And he's played okay, right? He hasn't overtaken Sean Ryan.
No.
But I do think at some point, and this is where it is really tough, when you have your two highest paid guys and you don't know how much they can give you. you want them to go out there. They obviously made a mistake, and it was, I don't think it's anybody's fault. I think Zach Tom wanted to play. I think he pushed to play, and I saw LaFleur kind of comment, it's one thing to practice, trust me. Doing a Thursday or doing a Friday practice and then thinking, oh, you know what, this isn't bad, because you're not going full speed.
Right.
And you're not anchoring full, and you're right. not having to strain. And especially if it's a back or if it's an oblique or if it's something, you're like, you don't know until you know.
Yep.
And it would have been probably in everybody's best interest to sit another week and hope that everything heals up even that much better. And when you have that, then the domino starts falling. And as anybody that has played dominoes or set that little domino thing up, man, once that train gets moving, the domino train hit, and Cleveland's too dang good to have the domino train rolling. You needed to be solidified in a wall, and that wall was filled with dominoes yesterday, and the dominoes didn't hold up.
The domino train. What's that sound effect again? I like that. That was good.
What do you got, judgmental Jesse?
Nothing.
Oh,
okay. Sounds like dominoes.
So why'd you put yourself on camera?
It sounds like dominoes.
Don't put yourself on camera and then not say anything. That throws everything off.
I make facial expressions all the time on the camera without saying anything.
Hmm. What are you, Jim Halpert?
Is this your first day around here?
Yeah. Were you making facial expressions this weekend, Tausch? When you got the results of your prize picks?
My prize picks, I think I said I had a good day, but not a great. I had an opportunity. Somebody let me down. I don't remember which player. Did I tell you yesterday who let me down?
Jacobs didn't get in the end zone.
Oh, yeah. Jacobs. 11 straight. Oh, my God. He is a touchdown maker, everybody tells me. He's not going to get in. He didn't get in, and Old T didn't win. I wasn't right, and I didn't get paid. But you know what? On prize picks, it is good to be right. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on prize picks, where it is good to be right, and it's simple to play. Pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections. If you get your picks right, you cash in. Prize picks offers Venmo and Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick and easy deposits into your account this football season. They also offer injury reboots. So if one of your players leaves, if I had Zach Tom for a certain amount of pancakes, I don't know if we have that on prize picks, but if we did, the injury reboot would have kicked in. Which players are going off? Which ones aren't? Turn your sports opinions into real cash on Prize Picks. Join the millions of users. Sign up today. Download the app. Use that code WI, great state of Wisconsin, to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That is code WI to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It is good to be right.
More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Ryan in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments. The next interview she does, she should say, Jason, when I made that comment, at the time, I had great confidence in my head coach's ability to call plays, particularly in close games. Obviously, I was mistaken.
That's a really good idea by whoever said that.
Brian B. in the YouTube comments. So, Brian, thank you. For that. So I did want to get some answers from Matt LaFleur. Then we'll move on from the Matt LaFleur press conference show here in the 11 o'clock hour. But I appreciate that Matt LaFleur likes to take the blame for stuff. And sometimes he takes the blame because it is absolutely positively his fault. Now, Tausch, we did go back and forth with him. Bill Huber asked a couple times. Some other people did as well. But the idea of not throwing the ball at all in that scenario with the interception, which you made a very astute point about what could have been if you just punted and made them go 80 yards, their offense didn't look like it was capable of doing that. So I asked Matt LaFleur about that thought process as well as Jordan Love's
polluted mindset
mistake that he made. I will say his answer was exactly what I anticipated it being, which was that he's trying to end the game with the offense. But here is how Matt LaFleur explained what happened on the interception.
Speaking of the interception, two things. One, you know, given how much, how well your defense was playing, was it a tough decision for you to call the pass versus running
it? Yeah, I said it's 20-20.
Right.
We're trying to be aggressive and try to, like, thought that was our best opportunity. Obviously, didn't work out that way. Something that you can't take back. All you can do is try to learn from it and try not to make the same mistake again.
I understand that you always take the blame for stuff. So once you've decided to make that call, whether you shouldn't have made it or not, you can beat yourself up about it. But what can Jordan do better so it doesn't end catastrophically the way it does?
Well, I always think that, like, one thing I always tell our quarterbacks is if we have a bad play, don't make a bad play worse. And, you know, I will say in his defense, the guy did a nice job. Delpit did a nice job. You can see he's in man coverage, and he fell off the route. So he did something that we did not anticipate him doing. So he made a good play.
Is that a byproduct?
Look, should he have called a run play?
Was that clown music playing in the background?
I don't know what that was.
What was
that? Jesse's.
Nah, my bad.
What are you doing over there?
No, I thought you were like adding like.
No, it was a. That was a commercial for dog food or something. I have the ESPN Power Rankings up, ready to go for our next segment, and. I guess the tab unmuted.
Would you eat dog food?
I don't think you're supposed to do that.
No, but there's like the fresh stuff now.
I still don't think
it's
you're
not
supposed
like
to
the canned
that.
Or the like the pellets. But there's like fresh, like they make it look like when they're selling it on TV, it looks good.
I hardly eat a lot of human food.
Really?
Well,
that sounded snarky.
That
sounded really snarky.
I think I see what he meant
by that.
I meant a variety of different things,
Jason,
not the quantity
of
food which I like to eat.
Oh, come on.
I'm walking a golf course twice a week.
He's Gary Brecka, the health guru.
Yeah.
Jason drops 5 pounds and he's, Johnny Judgment over here.
40 pounds last year, Madison weight loss, no big deal. 5 this week.
Is that all you have to say?
I would not eat dog food, no, and I apologize for the dog food commercial in the background of Matt LaFleur's answer to your question.
Okay. We need to get to those power rankings Tuesday. Because
what were you hoping? Like, what were you when you played that, Jason? What was popped out?
I didn't mean to talk
about dog food, but Jesse brought it up.
He did. Yes, by playing it in the background. I thought it was interesting that he at least acknowledged don't make a bad play call worse, and that he did by throwing that ball. Like, again, I don't understand.
If he had to do it again, would he run the ball?
I think he would, yeah.
I don't think he would.
Hindsight's 20/20.
No, I think this is where I appreciate his aggressiveness. It is the new way in the NFL. We saw Dan Campbell do it last night on a 4th and 1.
Yeah.
Beautiful design play, and Goff threw it right where he needed to, and Amon St. Brown made a
great
catch.
Throw.
So it was all good. But understanding what you need. Lamar Jackson is not Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson in that offense, even with Detroit's defense playing somewhat good, they still you have to understand you're gonna give these guys 4 downs and not 3. That's why I understand where Matt is coming from on it. But it didn't matter. They were not going to go down 80 yards. They just weren't. And that's where I'd like to get an understanding of how do you rationalize that compared to the analytics that tell you to continue to push the aggressive envelope.
Mm-hmm.
Because analytics are always going to push to be more aggressive. Go for it on 4th down. Do this. Bah. And by the way, it works. It has become – I remember playing Madden – in college football in college, and I'd always go for it on 4th down because it would work. And you get a 4th down, all of that stuff is great until it doesn't. But if I had a 2-score lead and I knew when I punted to Coach Eck and he had Nebraska and he was running the triple option, I knew he wasn't going to go down and score quick, and I was going to end up winning the game. I would have punted. It's understanding time and flow of game.
Right.
And I don't sense that I just don't like it when people are like, well, that's what the book said. Well, that's what analytics said. Feel. There's still some place in football for feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's not out there in a bunch of guys, you know, attitudes on coaching.
So I would just say this because I thought of you when he answered the hindsight is 2020 answer, because and then I thought of you again last night watching Monday Night Football, A, because you're kind of a Jared Goff hater. And
I gave him a lot of love last year,
And that throw on fourth down to Amon-Ra St. Brown pick up that first down was big.
It was beautiful.
Time.
But what have I said about Goff?
If you get him off the spot and get him uncomfortable, he's not very good.
I said when he is in a clean pocket and play action pass, he is a really good quarterback. And when he's not, he's not. By the way, let's not start crowning him again. He is a.
I'm not crowning him.
I'm not denigrating him either. I'm saying what is fact to me. He is a really good quarterback when he's got Sean McVay, and it's bing, 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 bing. And now he is an accurate thrower of the football, no doubt. But move him around and get just like any quarterback. He is not a play extender. He is not somebody.
That's fair.
He is not somebody. You rattle him. How did he do against the G&G this year? When they rattled his cage and got him moving. Was he good?
No, he was not.
Thank you.
Did not look like the same team I saw on September 7th.
That's because they pounded the ball down the throat.
Yeah. That said, but my other thought was exactly what you just said. You're going against an offense that's put up good points against you, has a two-time NFL MVP in the prime of his career at quarterback, is very hard to tackle when he starts dancing around and extending plays or running. I did not have any problem with the Lions choosing and Dan Campbell choosing.
And that's his deal.
In that scenario. Yep. And in that scenario.
Sure. Matt LaFleur, I don't have one problem. If that same scenario was,
correct,
you would have heard me say squat.
Yep.
I would have said exactly the right move. But Joe Flacco in an offense that couldn't move the ball all day, no, I'm sorry. That is not the same. You can't equate those two. And that's
precisely
where analytics, I don't know if analytics gets that right.
I tend to agree. I also agree with you on Jones Dairy Farm. They get it right all the time.
Oh, they do. Jones Dairy Farm, family-owned and operated for 7 generations in Fort Atkinson since 1889. And everybody talks about eating clean, you know, no fillers, no nitrates, MSG, gluten. Well, Jones Dairy has been doing it from the jump. Their original family recipe, pork, chicken, and turkey, and just natural seasonings. Oh, baby, it's the best. And bacon, life-changing. What makes it so special? It's dry-aged for up to 3 weeks. Intense flavor worth the wait. Smoked with real cherry wood, hickory hardwood, never liquid smoke. We were down there, and it is as good as advertised. Got some fun videos up. Check those out. We got a couple more coming that are going to be really fun. A couple collabs. Some collabs with
Jones Dairy.
That's going to be really fun. Find out more at jonesdairyfarm.com.
All right. I know Jesse's so eager to do the Power Rankings Tuesday that he hit the button and started playing a commercial in the middle of our conversation.
Was that Purina?
I don't know. And they don't serve ice cream.
Well, they're obviously
Fresh
on the
Pet
log.
Doesn't either.
I mean, something's going on.
No, it was on the website.
It was on the
website.
Yeah, it was a
come on now
pre-roll video thing.
Do dogs not eat ice cream? Dogs will eat ice cream, won't they?
And they've got their own kind of ice cream. Yeah, they do. I want to get to this before the end of the hour here. Sean in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments: Love has become Goff when moved off the spot. We don't agree with that, do
no,
we?
No, I don't.
Has he not been as good when he's moved off the spot as you expect him to be, though?
I think
that's possible to argue.
Yeah, we could take a look at that. That's easy. That's where analytics come into play. Somebody pull up the stats. I don't have them, but somebody can pull them up. I don't have them. I'm not sure what you want me to say.
I don't know if he's good or not.
Hey, you do have an entire firm that does this
for
you.
How's Goff out of the pocket? I don't know. I saw minicamp. I didn't see anything, so I don't know anything that's going on. I'm going to say this. I don't know what the stats are going to show. Jordan Love out of the pocket, I'll take 100 out of 100 times more than Jared Goff. I could promise you that.
I would tend to agree. I just thought it was an interesting comment.
And in fairness, I'd take Lamar Jackson 100 out of 100 times over Jordan Love.
Yeah. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour. I don't know. In 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, 6, 7 minutes, whatever it might be. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.